I really hope that the Brothers and Sisters, you would all take this fellowship to heart and be quite serious about it, because this the future of the Lord's recovery, by that I mean specifically the practice of our church life in our different localities, how this church life would be. As it affects the Lord's genuine testimony. Is in our hands. We have to have something that we can pass on to the next generation as a kind of a practice, proper practice of the church life. And so this matter of the God-ordained way, this matter of the group church life, this matter of vital companionship, all this have affects the Lord's testimony in its strength, in its prevailingness, in its attraction, in its power, very much. And so we're not here talking about unimportant things, but it requires some brothers and sisters who love the Lord, who are burdened for the Lord's testimony, burdened for their church life in their locality, to practice these things. Paul's word is, what you have heard, what you have received, what you have seen in me, practice these things. Without practice, without working them out, eventually these things can just be letters and doctrines for knowledge. So let us all exercise our whole being. Let us exercise our spirit, and let us have much prayer and fellowship with one another. And I certainly would expect the leading brothers in the churches in particular to be so aware, so burdened for this, and have a long-term view with a to lead the church, the saints, into these things in the way of with endurance, with persistence, and not to just give up and forget about it, but to endeavor over time to build or rebuild such a group church life. Look, if in every locality, I'm seeing average, there would be one, two, or three such groups of varying sizes. Maybe one group with five or six, another would have 10 or 12, another would have, more. I hope not much more, but like that. Earnestly practicing this, and there's a lot more to come about this kind of group life. Today is just establishing the nature, am I right? The feature of such a group church life. But they would practice these things in earnestness. I can testify, not that we would become experts or things would be absolutely perfect. But you will see the Lord's blessing. You will see the Lord will have a way, because we're following his principles, right? And not just carrying on something according to our own tradition, in oldness. Then I would again remind us all that we should not take these things as formula, as programs that we should follow, but we should all not serve again in the oldness of the letter, according to creeds, according to programs, according to a certain kind of a prescribed method, but we should serve in newness of the spirit. The spirit is new. Everything with the spirit is new. So the newness is not just in the new way of meeting, although that has some bearing, but the newness eventually comes from the spirit. So all of us have to be in the spirit, full of the spirit, to be vital persons of the spirit. Then we practice these things with earnestness and endurance. The Lord will have a way. This will affect the care of all the saints, the shepherding of the believers, the preaching of the gospel. We will touch that. The increase of the church. All the churches, local churches, ought to be strong, brothers and sisters, and rich and prevailing. It should be that way. Should be that way. So, don't expect the whole church to be doing this necessarily. That would be wonderful, but at least some would start, all right? And that will affect the others. All right, now, very quickly, we will finish up the rest of the outline. I don't need to dwell in them for too much. In the first section, again, don't take that legally, okay? Of the group meet. By the way, brothers, in our group meetings, it's not like meeting in a hall, in a larger way where you need some order, because it's a larger congregation. But in these kind of meeting in the home, it is supposed to be homely. It's supposed to be relaxed. It's not supposed to be stiff and formal, right? I invite you to my home and everything is stiff and formal. I think you'll be very uncomfortable and you couldn't wait to leave. We all need to learn that way, right? To meet in that kind of way. Okay. In the first section of the group meeting, the attendants should fellowship concerning each person's present spiritual condition and practical environment. It shouldn't. Should it be first or second? In any event, this is always a good way to break the ice, isn't it? How are you doing? Let's all share a little bit about ourselves from this week. Anything good, anything bad, anything that we should all be happy with you, anything that we should all bear with you. Let us all be very free to share our situation and our environment. So there's a level of openness that is needed, and sometimes you don't wait for some others to do it. You start to be open. You know, the way to have other people open to you is you open to them first. That's surely something I have learned. All right? You want to relate to people, you don't wait for them to reach out to you. You reach out. You open up in a proper way, and not in a crazy way, and not in a strange way. And then you will invite other people to also open themselves. But we need that atmosphere that we just talk about, that feature of love, of care, of mutuality, for us to be comfortable to do that. The first thing that we need to care for is this practical fellowship among the attendants related to their daily life. And so I don't need to get into the verses and all of that. I mean, the verse here, on the reference verse here, actually it's quite good in that Paul Go and read Paul's epistles. So Paul is just like a open book, isn't he? He just opened himself up, his woes, talk about woes, Paul's woes, all his outward environment, the sentence to death in themselves, the challenging situation, nigh to death, the suffering they experienced, the persecution, and his care and concern for the saints. Paul just opened himself up. Let's learn of Paul. He said, we pray for us. We cannot take it anymore. We are excessively burdened. Paul was not so proud. I don't have a problem. I don't need you. I'm an apostle. No, that's not Paul. Paul even despaired even of living. How about that? Can a great apostle be in despair? You just are staring at one, looking at one in the person of Paul and all these verses in Corinthians and Ephesians, and we need comfort, and this brother, he's going to come to you and comfort him, so he can comfort your hearts. I'm sending so and so to you to so that I can get encouraged by the news this and that. Paul is so, this is, did you see this, brothers and sisters? Read these verses. Read Paul's epistles in this way, not just for truth, not just for those things, but just see how Paul practiced. He is really a body member. He considered the saints in the churches just like another member. I open to you. You open to me. I remember you. You pray for me. And then they think about other members, his co-workers, and this and that. How wonderful, how normal, how just natural this is. Our church life has become way too formal, and I use the word stiff. And lacking this human touch. And I don't mean bringing in fleshly things and being soulish stuff. I don't mean that. But this is in the spirit, but yet so human, right? One, the fellowship in the small group should include such practical matters as the health and circumstances of the saints in the group. I am practicing to do more visitation. One little visit, 10 minutes, you don't know what that means to the saints. You hardly could say that much. It's not convenient, or it is not appropriate, but just your visit, just your face, your smile, just a few words. Brothers and sisters, we are human. The saints are human. People are human. We're not here preachers. We're not here, that kind of a way. We are just a fellow human being. We're fellow sufferers in the human life. We go through the same things they go through, and we need to stand with one another. Health situation, certain dire circumstances. This is all happens all the time. If it's not me, it's you. And it is so important, and this time some saint is there ready with a heart to receive, to talk, to listen, to be with such ones. That's the church life. That's the body life, not just coming and I speak high peak to you, you speak high peak to me, merely. You follow what I'm saying. Two, this kind of fellowship will spontaneously issue in prayer. That is so true. Because in the end, oftentimes, none of us know what to do. None of us are able to take care or help the situation. We all need the Lord. So we spontaneously pray. According to the need, we can intercede for each other, not only when we see each other, but when we leave one another. When we bid each other farewell, we will say, "Brother, I pray for you." Or, "Brother, please remember me." This is so bodily. This is so normal. B, we need to have an intimate and thorough fellowship in Christ as the element and sphere by exercising our spirit with much and thorough prayer concerning our status, spiritual condition, and present situation in and with the Lord. So Christ should always be the element and sphere of our fellowship. We don't have this kind of relatedness outside of Christ, do we? No. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are members of one another in Christ. Christ must remain our element and realm. So we need to exercise our spirit with much and thorough prayer, okay? To fellowship with one another in an intimate way. I like this word intimate. We, if in a proper sense, huh? If we cannot be intimate with one another, who can we be intimate with, right? In this kind of mutual care, right? And intercession and fellowship. To know one another's statuses, to know one another's conditions, to know one another's present situation. Now, of course, we do this with normally, properly, and not excessively. I don't mean one person take over the whole meeting to talk about his whole life. And you know what I mean, brothers and sisters. Sometimes there's a particular need. It's very conditioned, is very serious, and that takes more time. The Spirit will lead us. And so we can, the more you know someone in this way, the more you have a heart for them. You just have a heart. If you don't know me, you cannot have a real heart for me. If I don't know your need, I don't even know how to pray. So also learn, saints, to be open. Open yourself to each other, right? Help the new ones to be open themselves. Even I, as an older one, should also open myself to others. There are plenty of things I can receive help from the younger ones as an older one. I shouldn't be proud. I shouldn't throw my weight of my seniority around. I'm just a member as well. All right? One, our fellowship should be not only intimate, but also thorough. Okay, sometimes these things take a little time. It's okay. We when we come together, we don't necessarily have to read a message or this or that. Our time is for one another in the Lord, all right? We'll have to have the Lord's leading, of course. How much to spend in this, we need to have some discernment. Sometimes it's too much, then we need to reduce. And sometimes we just have a feeling that this particular member needs have a special need. So we spend more time in that. All right. The intimate and thorough fellowship is in Christ as the element. Christ is also the sphere, the limit of that fellowship. We have to beware not to bring in the fleshly element, natural element, worldly element in. All right. Don't start playing the psychiatrist in the group meeting. Okay. Don't act like you're the therapists or psychologists. Don't throw around these kind of stuff. Okay? We are just saints in the Lord, doing our best, right, to care for each other with the Lord. Okay, the way to have intimate fellowship and thorough fellowship is to exercise our spirit. Never forget to use our spirit, not just our emotions. The emotions has a role, but it has to be under, right, the headship of the spirit. It has should must be subservient to the spirit. We should feel through the spirit, right? We should consider by the spirit, exercise our spirit inwardly when we have such fellowship, so it does not degenerate into some worldly common friendship talk. You know. Four, in our groups, we need to fellowship concerning our status, spiritual condition, and our present situation in and with the Lord. And then five, just repeating the above, five, we need to build up an intimacy with all the members of our group. To do this, those in our group may call one another during the day for brief contact and fellowship. And this is what I mean. This is a group life. This is not a Friday group time only, or Saturday, or whatever. No, it's well beyond that. We are living a communal community life together, and there are times in the day, right? Every day for us to call, for us to FaceTime, for us to whatever, right? WhatsApp. And not to chit chat, not to just gossip, not to do those kind of things, but for us to care for one another and together, maybe two or three, care for some other people for the gospel, for shepherding and all of this. It should be plentiful. It should be an ordinary thing. Dear brothers and sisters, we do meet, and the church meets, and that's the meaning of the word church. The gathering of the assembly of the called out ones, ecclesia. That's what we do. But that meeting is not just once a week or only reserved to a certain time. It could be any time, any day, and any way, really, as necessary. All right? The more we have this kind of proper contact with one and fellowship with another, the more the Lord, listen, the Lord, the head, and the spirit, the life within us, will have a way to flow. The more we are like this, the more that fellowship, that blood, in the body would flow and circulate, and we will all become more healthy. And there would be genuine fellowship amongst us, right? And even that love in the fellowship will flow. Okay, if we love one another, we will always feel that we miss one another. That's like the song says, right? B, if we would contact one another in this way, we will be enlivened and stirred up to love the Lord. Our hearts will also be softened towards one another, and we will be able to receive something from one another. It's just even a family, a physical family. That relationship needs to be maintained and built up. It's not automatic. So today you see family become estranged. Everyone doing their own thing. They may even be under one roof, but everyone living their own separate lives. There really is no family in practice, is there? They're just co-inhabitation. We in the church life are not here to co-inhabitate in the temple of God. We are the temple of the Spirit. We are the house of God. The house and the family, the residence and the folks are this one and the same thing. And so we are just together, right? Together being built up. And a good family, a normal family, a warm and loving family, it's a family that is, you know, just love flows from hearts, from heart to heart. Everyone is soft towards one another. There's no criticism. There's no, you know, antagonism. There's no animus, you know. Yes, for this we require a lot of forbearance, a lot of forgiveness, but we, our heart is to build up this family in the Lord, right? This church that we're in our locality. And we will be able to receive something from one another. You know, I talk about forgiving one another. Now I want to say that we also have to do our best not to offend others, okay? That's something we also need to practice in a family, you know, not to, you know, hurt others, not to, you know, sometimes even unintentionally. So we have to really care for each other very much. Okay, and number four, I'll just read, and I have to, I'm already over time. Such and opening and fellowshipping brings in mutual interceding, mutual caring, and mutual shepherding. That's kind of fellowship with one another. Fellowship is the first thing, not even prayer and not even care. Fellowship is the first thing. And then the intercession will come. Then the practical care will come up. Then the shepherding will come out. Get into these verses. Hey, fellowship always brings in intercession. It also brings in the mutual care of the saints. This mutual care can be physical, financial, or spiritual, and it will result in mutual shepherding. I just remember sisters would, when I'm sick, would bring soup and bring, you know what I mean? I think we all, see, this, it's very, very practical. Financial help, dear saints, financial help to one another and spiritual help to each other. One, we must practically care for the saints, should not merely pray in spiritual terms. We must also be sent by the Lord to the needy ones, that is to visit them. And learn not to always just talk spiritual terms. Yeah, we are spiritual, but we're also very human, right? Because we are touching human beings. Two, the Lord is omnipotent, but if we do not do something practically to help the brother or sister for whom we pray, our prayer may not be answered. So we must not love in words. We must love in deeds. We must put our love into action. Four, we must have practical fellowship with practical prayer and practical care. Following this, some can go visit the person for whom they have prayed. Oh, dear saints, two things, visitation, invitation. Invitation, visitation. These are so, so useful. So, so useful. All right? So inviting. Okay? And five, we must go to visit those who are in any suffering situation and participate in their suffering. This is to shepherd one another. You know, all these are gestures that you are not just talking. You are joining them in that suffering. You're joining them in their happiness and joy. It's shown, demonstrated practically. B, our group meeting should be like this every time. This will attract people. It is in the group meeting that we can render an adequate, sufficient care for the saints. It is in the group meeting that every saint's current situation can be made known. to all the attendants of a proper group meeting will be built up together. This is the practical building of the body of Christ. Three, the practical fellowship, prayer, care, and shepherding are the basic factors of the group meetings. If we do not practice these, we will have no way to take care of every saint's need. Four, the body consists of all the members, and the members take care of the body. Every member should share in the care of the body. This is how a local church is built up. I stop here. Back to you, brothers. Amen.